You ready for the Word of God?
Yes.
I'm coming down here to wake some of you up if you're ready to sleep. How about that? I'm coming right after you. today, the sermon is on commitment, being a committed member of the church. And so this is our code number 3, right? Can somebody give a prize to her here? She has the right answer. Code number 3. So we're going to talk about commitment today. Code number 3, 100% committed to the Lord. I had a fellowship with the Korean pastor here at our church. They worship here at 12:30. How many of you know that the Korean church meets here? Yeah? All right, very good. Pastor Paul and his wife Susie came last week to meet me and my wife, and we had a good time of prayer. One of the things I learned as he was sharing was that they came from Oakland. God called them from Oakland to come down here, and they sold their business to come and plant a church. It's a long story. It was a 2 hours meeting, so I'm trying to cut it down to the gist. When the first Sunday they were here, and it was like an installation, there were about 300 people in this sanctuary to welcome them, to pray for them. So I can imagine that he was very excited to see about 300 people here. So the following Sunday, their first worship as a pastor, do you know how many people showed up? Two people. Only two people showed up. Something happened. I'm not going to go in details. The wife cried and say, let's go back to Oakland. We're not going to be here. He came and prayed for 5 years every night in this church, every day. For 5 years, he came and prayed every night, and he slept in this church. For 5 years. It's just not one day, it's not 5 days, not 5 weeks, 5 months, for 5 years. He's been praying. The wife's been telling. The wife told us, I gave him a hard time to go back to Oakland. During that prayer time, God told him, Pastor Paul, I went after one person. I left the 99 and go after one person. Even though there are only two people, I want you to make those two people grow and know the Lord. So he did not leave. He's still here. That's commitment. That is commitment. Just for two people, they sold their business. He said, one day they had no food to eat, he and his wife. They had nothing to eat that day, and they didn't know what they were going to do. And when they woke up, somebody had brought a bag of rice and left it somewhere for them. They didn't share these things. It touched me that somebody so committed to the Lord continued to stay here just for two people. I have preached in front of thousands of people. I have preached in front of thousands of people. It's great to preach in front of thousands of people because there's energy. But I have preached in front of 10 people too. My prayer always has been that I will preach with the same passion whether I preach to thousands or to 10. It's not the number that tells the whole story. It's not the number that tells the whole story, my friends. It's not in the number. It's in your understanding of who Christ has called you to be. So today, for those of you that have been a member of this church, you know what you have committed to. But for those of you that are visiting, we want to tell you what our church is going to be like. This month is a fasting and prayer month for our church, looking for vision, direction from the Lord. And this is our spiritual DNA. We are doing our spiritual DNA, what we should be. This is our code number 3, our genetic spiritual code. And the third number is committed members. A true follower of Jesus Christ is committed to Him, to His calling, and to His community. So the first point that I want to say is, a true follower is committed to Jesus Christ. Okay? Your commitment is to Christ. So what does it mean if you're committed to Christ? In John 5 verse 30, it says, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. See? So, commitment to Christ is committing to Christ, is leading and living His life. It's about leading the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're committed to Him, it's to His life. Now, what does it look like, committed to His life? It means your value and Christ's value aligns. Aligning your value with Christ's value. Doing the will of the Father. Just as Christ do nothing except by the will of the Father. Right? In every areas of our life, we're aligning our value with Christ's value. That is committing and living His life. That's commitment. Total commitment to Christ. How many of you has achieved anything without committing totally? What's the difference between being married and not married? When you're married, you're committed. You're 100% committed. When you're dating, you're not there yet. The Lord Jesus Christ is very clear. When you read His letters to the churches, when He taught, there are a few things that He is very strong about. He has strong emotions. He has strong emotions on people that are lukewarm. And He described them that I will spew them out of my mouth. That's a strong language. You're neither hot nor cold. So what is He going to do? I will vomit you out of my mouth. Isn't that a strong language? I mean, it's like, bleh! I vomit you out. And then He said, no one can serve two masters. Very strong. It means He wants 100% commitment to those who are going to follow Jesus Christ. It's your choice, but if you're going to follow me, I want 100%. It's not like, I'm there when you need me. When I want to do something, I go do my own thing. Has anyone built a company without 100% commitment? I mean, has anyone achieved anything without 100% commitment? At our church, at Santa Clara First Baptist Church, I want to tell you that we are very imperfect people. I also have a news for you. We are imperfect church. So if you're looking for a perfect church, perfect members, this might not be it. This is not the church. But if you're looking for a perfect God, to worship a perfect God, we want to welcome you here. But you have to be totally committed to Christ. There is no optional thing. about your commitment to Christ. We are a church that is totally, totally sold out for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to be a part of that church, then this is your church. We want you to try it and see whether Jesus is lifted up in this church or not. We want you to come and try and see whether Jesus is the center of this church or not. You just come and see. But Santa Clara First Baptist Church is totally sold out for the Lord Jesus Christ. That includes me. I am totally sold out for the Lord Jesus Christ and to his life. I am striving that my values align with his value. I am striving that my time is aligning with his time. I am making God priority in my life. I'm making God's time priority in my life. I'm making God's value priority in my life. I'm making God's work priority in my life. That my work aligns with the work of the kingdom of God. Oh, getting excited, right? Some of you say, Pastor, have more excitement. I don't know. What am I going to do? Right? So he's just committing to his life. Not only that, he's committing to his teaching. We are committed to the life of Christ and to his teaching. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Very simple. You know, there's not a lot of theological jargon there. There's one straight line. You love me, keep my commandments. He said, keep my teaching. Loving God. What is his commandment? Love the Lord your God with? That should be our DNA. That should be our DNA. That we love God. You're making God the one thing in your life. I'm going to ask you, what is the one thing in your life right now? Don't answer it, but answer it with you. What is the one thing in your life? What is the one thing in your life? Let's go and join the dinner with Martha and Mary and with the disciples. They're going to have a dinner. Martha is running around, doing things, cutting stuff, get water, looking at her sister Mary. Lord, tell my sister to help me. Come on. She's just sitting at your feet, worshiping you, adoring you, and listening to whatever you say. Come, ask her to come and help me. Say, Martha, Martha, Martha. There is one thing that is important, and your sister has chosen that one thing. Jesus is enough. In Santa Clara First Baptist Church, Jesus is the one thing, and he is enough for us. Amen. You're looking for the it factor? I'm telling you, Jesus is it in this church. We're committed to him 100%. 100% we're committed to him. And then to love others is our spiritual DNA. It means to make others part of our spiritual community. Pass on the word. Everybody. Visitors or members. Tell everyone in this city that people who are not wanted in a big church, in a rich church, I don't know, small church, whatever church it may be, people that are not wanted, let them know they're wanted here in Santa Clara First Baptist Church. That people who are not wanted are welcome in this church. That we are to love others and make them part of the spiritual community. I want to welcome you into our community today if you're looking for that kind of spiritual community. The second thing is that a true follower is committed to Christ's calling. Okay? So the first thing is we are committed 100% to whom? To? And the second one is that we're committed to His calling. Before I came to America, in 1994, God called me to a full-time ministry. 1994. And I said, well, yeah, you know, God, I got to take care of my mom, my sisters, and my brother. I will serve you, but I'm not going to serve you full-time. So I'm bargaining with him. So I met my Sunday school teacher after I joined in the full-time ministry. And I was maybe 8 years old, 9 years old, I don't know, I don't remember. And she came and told me, you always said you wanted to be a pastor. And I was pastor already at that time. But things change, you know. When I was in high school and going to college, if you're in India, you will know what it means to be in the civil service exam, okay? So I wanted to be in the civil services. I wanted to be an IS officer. And that was my plan. So every year, nowadays, there are about 780 or less than 800 seats that are available to be part of the civil services. So about 300,000 candidates will apply for that position. And then it's a strenuous, long, hard exam. You can talk to some guys from India if they're here. They will know. So it's like SAT, but 10 times SAT. Okay? It's like that. First exam, second exam, and the interview. So in 1994, God called me and said, okay, Lord, I'll serve you, but I want to be an IS officer, and everywhere that I serve in the country, I'll plant church for you. See, I'm making a bargain. And that didn't work, I guess. So I said, you know, why don't I just write the exam, I'll pass it, and then I won't get it. I will not work, I'll go full time. Because this job is status, power, name recognition. Okay, it's a big, big deal. So I wrote the exam, and I was among the 1,200 that is selected already, 1,300. I'm right now in the final, in the interview. They're going to select about 700 from there. So I'm ready. People are saying, oh, well, Louis, interview, no problem for you. You can talk. You're there already, you know. I'm also thinking in that way. But say, oh, no, you never know, you know. But in my head, yeah, I got this. So bought a new suit, tie, everything, went. There were about 8 boards. These boards were chosen by the president of India. I went into the board and sat there. And I came out of the interview, and I'm thinking, okay, I got this. You know, but I didn't get it. I didn't get that. So I'm thinking, okay, these guys that have worked, I have helped with some people how to write that exam. They were the one that got, some of them got through. I said, okay, maybe there's some mistake. I'll do it again. Same thing, I went through the same process. And there I'm in the interview again. But this year was a little bit strange. Okay? Because when I was going down to write an essay before the interview, and I'm riding this auto rickshaw, the three-wheeler auto rickshaw, going down early morning to the Union Public Service Commission, and I heard a voice. And the voice said, are you going to honor me today? And I'm saying, oh, forget it. You know, I'm concentrating on my essay, what the essay is going to be. You don't know what the essay is going to be. You don't know what you're going to get. Right? Then drove, there's a traffic light. And in Delhi, it's just crowded, traffic. So in the traffic, I heard the voice again. Are you going to honor me today? I said, no, don't talk to me. I don't want to hear you today. I want to write my essay. Third time, it gets very clear. So I get so annoyed, irritated. I say, yeah, I'll honor you. I went in to write the essay. I mean, there are at least 500, 600 of us in that room, I guess. And there are three questions. One is women in power in India after 58 years of independence. I say, whoo, this is what I want. Hallelujah. That's what I want to do. And the other one was on economic development 50 years after independence. And the third one, I didn't look at it properly, but I glanced at it. It was about religion. Something about all religion leads to the same path. Okay? Forget it. So I started writing on the women empowerment and what we should do in India for women, how we lift them up, how we empower them. Writing 2-3 pages already of essay. And then they say, you said you'll honor me today. You know? So I'm writing. What honoring? I'm writing here. You know? Not honor. You say you'll honor me today. You promise you'll honor me today. I cancel out all the essays that I've written. I went down to the third question. All religion leads to the same destination. I took from John 14. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. I wrote an essay on that for UPSC. If you know, in India, that was the first time BJP came to power. Atal Bihari Vajpayee was the first prime minister of the BJP. There was anti-conversion law. Churches were burned down. Missionaries were killed at that time. I wrote that essay to be a bureaucrat, and I went out. I was thinking I'm not going to make it. But they called me for an interview. I'm among the 1,300 that selected for these 690-odd jobs. In the interview, I got in. Okay, I made it, you know. I'm going to get it this time. Got in there. The board members were there. So what's your name? Ungreso. Ungreso. What does it mean? It means praise to the great king. The board chairman looked at me and said, oh, wow. Where is the kingdom of God? This is not going well. At that time, India had tested nuclear bombs, and Pakistan is going to test a nuclear bomb, and China is coming in to help Pakistan, and there was a nuclear race going on in Asia, and there was a fear that war will break out between Pakistan and India, and I'm looking at the role of United States and China and Russia, how are we going to deal with this politics? Right? It's not, where is the kingdom of God? So I look at the chairman and I say, sir, the kingdom of God is within your heart. I say, who wrote the two cities? See, you're talking about St. Augustine here, the city of God. City of the world. We had a long conversation on Christianity, and the last question was on Christianity. I knew then God has closed the door for me, even though I had bargained for power, for wealth, name recognition in that country. He had called me in 1994 to serve him full time. And that year, 1999, I said I will serve him full time. I could have done it again. You're allowed to do 3 times or more. And to go through the interview, once you have gone through that process, I know it's hard, but it's not that hard to get there again. You know how to get there. I said I will serve full time. And there was the year, 1 year. 2000, 1999 to the beginning of the year, I was homeless. Now, I don't have a place to stay for a year. You know, from becoming a big shot to like nothing, I was going and sleeping with my friends. It's getting late and praying with them and saying, oh, it's too late, stay in my home now. and I will sleep there and go pray around for 1 year. And Margaret and I were very serious, and she was with me there at that time when I was homeless, you know, in New Delhi. My godfather was the one who gave his place. You can come and stay here anytime you want. And I would go back to my godfather's house and sleep there and go and minister to university students and other people in the city. It was the most humbling, humbling time of my life. I had nothing to show, nothing to prove. I was a nobody in the eyes of the world. But I was committed to his calling. He called me to serve him. I'm sharing this to point to God that when God calls us, he fulfills all his promises. I totally love to be a pastor. That's what I'm trying to say. I love being a pastor. When I go home today, the friends that we have interviewed together, they are big shots in the government of India. I can use their vehicle and ride along with them. But there is no greater joy than serving the Lord. God has called you to be somebody in his kingdom. And I want you to commit to that calling 100%. If you ask, if people ask, so what's your pastor? What's he like? What does he do? What's he good at? I just want you to tell three things to the people that ask about me in this city. Just say, my pastor, he loves to be a husband, he loves to be a father, and he loves being a pastor. Okay? Just three things. Just tell them that my pastor loves to be a husband, he loves to be a father, and he loves to be a pastor. That's who I am. I am totally committed to be a husband. I'm totally committed to my calling as a father, and I'm totally committed to my calling as a pastor. That's who I am. And I have no doubt about that. I'm a husband first, and then a father, and then a pastor. My wife comes first before my kids. And then my kids comes first before the church. It's my wife, it's my children, and my church. Father second, husband first, and then ministry. That's how God has shaped me. The God that I have totally committed. So, what's your calling? What's your calling? Who are you committed to? Do you have a vision of your life? Do you write a vision statement of your personal life? Have you done that? If you don't, I want you to do it. I have written my own vision of life and philosophy of my life, how I should live. This has brought me to where I'm a husband, father, and a pastor. It's a very clear vision of my life. And this church will also have clear vision for short-term and long-term, because we are called to do specific things in this city, in this country, and around the world. That brings me to the third one. You know, before I say that, let me read this scripture. When he called the people to himself with his disciples and said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. So we follow by taking up the cross. And that cross is going to be different for every individual. So, number one this morning is committed to. Second is committed to the. And the third one is committed to the community, to the spiritual community. This is where I want to lay it in so it will all come together. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. We commit to Santa Clara First Baptist Church, to this spiritual community, and we commit to do by serving. By serving one another. That's what we committed to. We are here to serve one another. Right? We are here to serve one another. I am not here to be served. We are here to serve one another. We are here to wash the feet of one another. We're here to bear the burden of one another. We're here to carry the load of one another. We're here to weep with those who weep. I don't want this to be just a line. I want this to be in practice. This is our DNA, that we truly serve one another, that if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you are a servant of all. You're a servant of all. Oh, Santa Clara First Baptist Church. We got to be servant of all. We have to serve one another. We have to serve one another. By doing that, people will know that you're a follower of Jesus Christ, that you're totally committed to Him 100%. Then we commit to serve the spiritual community by sharing. How? By sharing our faith and our gift. How do you know that you're a follower of Jesus Christ? How do you know that you have Christ in your heart? How do you know that? The best explanation of our new life in Christ is expressed through the spiritual community. I'm telling you this. You cannot let your salvation shine if you're in isolation. You cannot isolate from other people and tell that you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Nobody will know. Nobody will know. When God calls us, He does not call us to isolation. He calls us to involvement. I have never read or understood in the scripture that we can do it alone. I haven't found it yet. You can let me know. You can say, Pastor, this is the scripture where it says you can do it alone, that you have to withdraw yourself and not be a part of the community. Come and show me. But I have heard people say, I can do it alone. I can worship alone. I don't have to come to church. I don't have to be a part of a life group. I don't have to be a part of a spiritual community. I can be alone. I haven't read that in the Bible. I don't know that in the Bible. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to do that. I wouldn't have come this far without the spiritual community. You tell me how you do it. The purpose of the spiritual gifts, which we will do in detail next month, is to edify one another. The spiritual gifts was not given just for you as a trophy. He says it's given to you to build up one another, to edify one another. The purpose of the Holy Spirit coming down on us, the fire of God coming down on us, is that I will build up my brother. I will build up my sister. I will build up my wife. I will build up my sons. I will build up my daughter. That's the purpose of the spiritual gift that was given to me. And how can I do that in isolation? How can I share my gifts if I'm not committed to the spiritual community? What is the best way to commit to a spiritual community? Sunday is not enough. For me, it's not enough. It's truly not enough. You got to belong to a group. Try it out and see that God's going to sharpen you. This is serving, right? Stir up good works. Stir up the love. How are you going to stir up the love when you're alone? How many of you cook? So a lot of, I cook, you cook. When we cook, what do? We chop the onion, we dip the garlic, you know, we get the spices, salt, chili, all mixed together, put the oil, and you put it together. Yeah, if you stir it, oh, the smell. All mixed together is good, but you got to stir it. You can just cut it and put it on the board and say, there you go. Do your job. Right? Oh, that spices has to go into that pot. The chili has to go into that pot. The onion, the garlic has to go into, the cilantro has to go into the pot. You mix it together, it makes a good aroma. Yummy, yummy. Right? Yes. But you can't do that if you're alone. That was the intention of each gift that God has given, that when we come together, we are a dynamic, powerful presence of Christ in the city. Are you stirring up the gifts of other people? Have you stirred up the love and gifts of other people? When did you do it? You're just putting your stirring spoon in your pocket. Oh, God gave me a stirring spoon, but it's just here. You're not using your stirring spoon because you're not with anybody. My friends, you're not going to lose out by joining a life group, I'm telling you. I can guarantee you this, that you will not lose out by joining a life group. In fact, you will gain so much out of it. But it's about aligning our values with God's value, aligning our time with God's time, aligning our work with God's work. And if you love the Lord, your work will tell you where your heart is. Your schedule will tell you where your heart is. Your budget will tell you where your heart is. Go home again and look at your calendar and see whether your calendar aligns with God's value. Go home and look at your calendar. Is your calendar making God priority? Go home and your budget. Is your budget aligning with God's heart? Welcome to Santa Clara First Baptist Church. This is what you're going to get every week, every month, every year, that Christ is the head of this church. And no one will come in, swagger down here the aisle, and claim on their own. That's not going to happen in this church, because we love the Lord, and all of us are sold out for Christ, isn't it? So good to be a part of the spiritual community. That's why my wife and I joined this church, even though all of you are so imperfect. I just love to be here. In front of God, I'm telling you, I just love to be in this church. I love being your pastor. I love to be husband of my wife. And I love to be a father of my children. And I'm totally committed. 100%. Our worship team is totally committed. We're going to invite them up. And as they come up, we have a prayer leader. And you're going to see a badge like prayer leader. They will wear prayer leader badge. We have made that, and I'm going to give out to some of them. And what we do is, this is the well. Do you see the well? Oh, it's so deep. If I fall down, help me, okay? This is the well that symbolizes the story of Jesus and the Samaritan woman. And at this well, no shame, no guilt, no judgment. No shame, no guilt, no judgment. Everyone is welcome to the well. As we sing this song, or after the song, you want to be prayed for, come and share whatever is in your heart, please come to the well. Jesus is waiting for you at the well to make you whole and free you to become who you should be. Welcome to the well for transformation, for fresh water, for energy and life. Let's welcome the Spirit and give a hand to our worship team. Yeah. Sharon did this for me. Thank you, Sharon. Sharon.